Today's scripture reading comes from John chapter 10, verses 7 through 18. I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I have come that they may have life in abundance. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I know my own sheep, and they know me. I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I am laying down my life. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again.
Today I want us to look at this passage of Scripture found in John chapter 10, one of the great passages of Scripture that gives us a glimpse into the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are taking again the journey to the cross. Aren't these banners beautiful here? I think Mary, I believe, made those, and some others may have helped. I think, Don, did you help on those? No? Okay. You've done everything else, but not the banners. But anyway, March 21st, if you haven't already reserved that date, please be sure to reserve that. That's Good Friday. And we're going to have our Easter musical that evening. Now, we'll have a smaller one on Sunday morning, but you're really going to miss a blessing if you're not here, March 21st. If you made plans, change them. Or if you can't change them, well, we'll pray for you. Well, maybe the Lord wants you here. But I like to be where the blessing is, and I know the blessing is going to be there. March 21st, Good Friday, here at Alturas Baptist Church. We're going to have an orchestra. That's why we made a little extra room here in the front. It's not just so that you people who like to sit in the back have more room to sit. You know, we thought maybe we'd put the pews back there where you like to sit. Well, we thought about putting them in the backyard, but we thought it might be a little too cold out there this season. But anyway, we appreciate all of you being here this morning. I want us to look at the subject, Follow the Leader. I'm sure when you were children, maybe even as adults, maybe at some point you played this game, Follow the Leader. It's kind of the game we're playing now with our politics, isn't it? Follow the Leader. It's kind of a game of life. It's kind of almost a parable of life. But we know that it's not always a good idea to follow the leader. When we played that game, sometimes we had a leader that was pretty mischievous, like me. And sometimes they would lead us through mud puddles and up trees and, you know, places that are kind of dangerous, people would say. And it's not a good idea, we found, to always follow the leader. But here is a leader we can and should always follow, and that's our Good Shepherd. Really, shepherd is synonymous with leader, being a leader. Our Lord was called himself the Good Shepherd. So that's what I want us to focus on. Who I want us to focus on this morning is our Good Shepherd and this leader that we have in Jesus. Well, what does it mean to follow him? Well, first of all, it means to follow his saving. And we're going to look at three things that it means to follow this leader, our Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd. And I want us to look at the scripture there again. He said in verse 7 of John chapter 10, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. I have come that they may have life in abundance. I'm sure you noticed his statement there. I am the door. There are many I am statements that Jesus made in the scriptures, as you know. In fact, he is called the I am. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And so I believe wherever our Lord made that statement, I am, he was claiming to be more than just a man. He was claiming, in fact, to be God. And he said, I am the door. Who else but God could say that? If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Well, I want us to think a little bit about that, what that means to follow his saving. First of all, there's a, if I could use a big word there, I will anyway, singularity. It's singularity. And that means that there's only one. Did not Jesus say, I am the way, the truth, and the life? No one comes to the Father except through me. If you've not followed Jesus as the only Savior, and if you've not received him into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, there's no other Savior. The Bible makes that clear. And the Bible is the Word of God. It's the only authoritative Word of God that we have. And Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Now, if Jesus wasn't really the door, now he was talking there, of course, about the, again, using the analogy of the shepherd and the sheepfold. I'm sure you probably read books about it, or you've heard teachings on this subject, or maybe you're familiar with the practice of shepherds with sheep in that part of the world. But there was an enclosure. I think I've seen them here with some of the places where they herd cattle. Up in the hills there, where we live, there's a kind of a corral that's built into the hillside. Well, it's kind of a natural place that can be where cattle can be herded. I think it was like that with sheep. And across the opening there, there was usually a small opening. Sometimes there was a wall with just a small opening where just one sheep could pass. Kind of like with salvation. you have to be saved alone. It's like death. It's the, you know, the opposite end. But to be saved, it's like being born. And now you may have been born a twin, but you were not. You were born singularly, one at a time. I think that's the usual practice. Well, certainly in the spiritual realm, there's a singularity here. And Jesus said, I am the door. That shepherd would stand and guard the door and make sure only sheep came in and only his sheep. And he says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Because outside there were the predators, the wolves and the mountain lions, I suppose, and other predators that would prey upon the sheep, even sheep stealers, people. And so the shepherd would guard the door. So come by Jesus. There's a singularity to his salvation. There's a security here. This is one of the great assurance passages in the Bible, where it says there in verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. There is security in trusting Jesus. And if you've not trusted Him as your Savior, would you trust Him today? Would you come into His sheepfold by Him, through Him? He is the door. And the Bible makes it clear that there is salvation by no other name than the name of Jesus. But once you are in, you are secure. He will watch over you. He will take care of you. And Paul said, I have committed unto Him my life until that day. And he spoke with confidence that nothing could take that salvation from him. So there's a security in trusting Jesus. There is a supply spoken of here in our Lord's words. In verses 9 and 10, he said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. And of course, pasture is where they fed, the sheep fed. He wants to feed us. He wants to lead us and take care of us. I think because we're like sheep, we're not of the same species. But spiritually, I think there are a lot of probably more similarities. You know, they say human beings and apes are related. I don't believe it. Now, I know we may look, some of us, like apes, but and maybe act like it. When I was a boy, I liked to climb trees. I still do occasionally, but I kind of evolved from that. But and so maybe climb ladders or something. But no, we're not related to sheep even. But I think we are similar. We have the similar needs of sheep. We're very dependent. We're dependent upon a leader to take care of us, and that leader, of course, is Jesus. So there is a singularity, a security, and a supply in His saving. He's promised to supply all of our needs. And there's not only here His saving that we can learn from in His words, but also His serving. We should follow His serving. If we could look there, verse 11. Jesus said the shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired man doesn't care about the sheep. I know my sheep and they know me. The Father knows me and I know the Father. There was a sincerity and is a sincerity about our good shepherd. His purposes are sincere. A sincere means pure. And there's a purity about our Savior's motives here. He's not a hireling. He said the hired man doesn't care about the sheep. We don't have to know a lot about shepherding to know that that is true. Someone just hired to do a job, well, they don't have the same interest as someone who actually owns the business. And here is someone who cares for the sheep because he's the good shepherd. He owns the sheep. And the hired man is like those who would try to lead us away from Jesus. I want to be, again, where the blessing is, don't you? I want to know that I'm saved. I'm not satisfied with just, you know, waiting until that last hour of life. And, you know, maybe if my good deeds outweigh my bad, well, maybe I'll make it to heaven. Well, I'd have to do a lot of good between now and heaven. I don't think I'd make it. But I want to know that I'm saved. And I want to know that Jesus is there with me. I'm not satisfied with just a secondhand knowledge of Jesus. I want to be where His blessing is. And so there's a sincerity in His service. He's the real thing. He's not the fake. There's a sentiment in His service. He cares. He talks about the hired man doesn't care about the sheep, but Jesus cares. I think it means that there. It infers that Jesus genuinely cares for you and for me. And that's what we can learn from Him. Not only that He serves us, but He said, as I have done unto you, so should you do unto one another. We are to serve one another like our Master did. We're even to be in the saving business in the sense that we are to take the good news of Jesus to others. So they're saving, they're serving. We should follow the sincerity of His serving, the sentiment of His serving, but also the sacrifice of His serving. Now, when we think of service today, we think of our service people in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places, especially of danger, that are serving our country sacrificially, that are serving the cause of freedom. Well, here is one who gave His all for us. And He spoke about it in His words here when He said, the good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. Now, the disciples may not have understood that fully at the time, but they would. He was speaking about the cross and how He loved us so much that He died in our place on Calvary's cross. That's what service is. Certainly what love is. Love motivated His service. There was sacrifice. There was a saving here that we can learn from His serving. But I want us to look too at His seeking. We should follow His seeking. Because He said in verse 16, I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I am laying down my life. I have the right to lay it down, and I have the right to take it up again. What can we learn from our Savior's words there about His seeking? Well, we can certainly learn about the purpose of His seeking. He said, other sheep I must bring. Isn't that wonderful that our Lord spoke of other sheep besides the chosen of Israel, the disciples, those that were of sincere faith in Him among His own countrymen? But no, he spoke not only of Israel, but He spoke of other sheep. And it's like a foreglimpse of what Jesus said when He went back into heaven after His resurrection. He said, you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem and to Judea and to Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. We are all objects of His seeking. We are all members of Adam's race. This idea that there are different races, well, technically it's not true, unless you believe in evolution. Maybe, you know, there might be a loophole there, but we're of the same family, human family. And Jesus came to die for each one. That's why we have missions. That's why we're a missionary church. Because we believe that all deserve to hear about Jesus. Because we have a God who is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We can learn from the price of His seeking. Here Jesus spoke of His death, His willing sacrificial death for us all. If Jesus paid it all, we ought to follow His steps. Peter wrote of that when he said, to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. So there is a price here that we can learn from in His seeking. There's a power. And He spoke of that in verse 18 where He said, I have the right. And actually the word there is power. I have the power to take it up, to lay it down, and to take it up again. Jesus was speaking, of course, of His power over life and death. And He showed that power in rising again from the from the tomb, which is now empty. We are to follow His seeking. And He said that in His great commission, He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth." And He said, "All power is given unto me." And may we trust our Lord Jesus. May we follow His saving personally. May we trust Him as our own personal Lord and Savior. If you've never done that, would you open your heart and just invite Him to come in the quietness of your heart, just ask Him. Just pray a silent prayer. "Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Give me eternal life. Make me one of your fold." And then we should follow Him in His serving. We should be like Him. We should follow in His footsteps. He said, "As you have seen me do for you, so should you do for one another." And then we should follow Him in His seeking. I think one way we do that is certainly personally. We ought to be ready, as the Bible says, to give an answer for the hope that we have within us. I think that means we rehearse it in our minds. We pray about opportunities. We think of those around us, of family and friends that need to know Him. And certainly, as we have this week of prayer, we pray for those that are unsaved in our continent, North America. And we pray that God would just open hearts to receive the Lord Jesus. And we follow Him. We follow our leader, the Lord Jesus Christ.
My soul that has been shed.